Well, welcome back, ladies, to our Bible study segment. This is where we open up the Word, and we are taught from the Word. And today we are back in the book of Romans, and our teacher, Beth Seifert, is standing by with today's lesson. Thank you so much, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, today we're going to jump back into Romans chapter 3. We're going to read verses 21 through 31 today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 3. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So the law and the prophets point to the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. The law shows us that we're not righteous. The fact that in our own strength we can't keep the law shows us that we needed another way to have righteousness given to us. And the righteousness of God is demonstrated not just in the law, although the law and prophets do point to God's righteousness. However, God has provided a righteousness that comes from him on the basis of faith alone, not on works. Paul has just finished telling the Jewish and Gentile believers that they are both in the same boat, and none of them can gain any righteousness through their own effort. And now, Paul shares the amazing news that God has provided the righteousness that they lack. What an amazing righteousness this is, too. First, this righteousness comes from God, not from man, so it's perfect. Secondly, it fulfills both the penalty that was due because of our sins. Either we had to pay that penalty in sacrifice or somebody else did. And because of Christ's perfect obedience to every single minute detail and requirement of God's law, his sacrifice also fulfills God's demand for righteousness. And thirdly, because God's righteousness is eternal, and God is the source of the righteousness credited to us, when we're covered in Christ's blood and his righteousness is given to us, we never lose that righteousness because the source of its power was never dependent on us in the first place. And all of this penalty being paid and his righteousness being given to us, all of this is apart from the law. Again, Paul points to the point he made in previous chapters. There's no difference in one person and from another, especially not based on race or creed or whatever. None. Because we've all sinned. All of us. All fall short of the glory of God. But Paul doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us without hope, but with a correct understanding of our status before God. And then he reminds us that we are justified by his grace. I have to stop and look at that there. What does it mean to be justified? This term is used about 30 times in Romans. It's a big deal. It's a legal term, and it comes from the Greek word for righteous, and simply, it means to declare something righteous. So we are declared righteous by his grace. We are declared pardoned from the guilt and pardoned from paying the penalty for our sin. God declares us sinful humans righteous solely based on the merits of Christ's righteousness, not our own. Basically, God looks at Christ's account and our accounts, and then he switches the names on the ledgers. Wow! So we get Christ's righteousness and he got our sin. We didn't pay what we should have, but he did. We sinful humans can't earn this account swapping. We can't. It was given freely as a gift and can only be accepted if we are given the faith by God to accept it. This grace that we are justified through is a gift, and we are justified by Christ's redemption of us. We have to stop there again. Look at that. What does redemption mean? As Paul was writing this, the reader would have been familiar with the slave markets of the day, especially in Rome. It was possible for a person who had the money to pay a ransom fee to get a slave or a prisoner freed. Christ paid that ransom for us. The only adequate payment to redeem sinners from their slavery to sin and the eternal consequences of that sin was Jesus' sacrifice. He paid that debt to satisfy the just requirements of a righteous God. Jesus, quite literally, stood between man and God to take the wrath from God that was meant for us and to give us his righteousness. God put Christ forward as a propitiation. I love that word, I do. God publicly put forth Jesus, and in his sacrifice, Christ appeased the wrath of God. Man is not capable of satisfying God's justice apart from Christ, except by spending an eternity in hell. Eternity. Not just a couple of years. Eternity. That's the only way sinful men could pay the debt they've incurred. God looked upon his Son and his sacrifice and was satisfied to pardon us. From the beginning, God killed an animal and shed its blood and used its fur to cover the nakedness or the sin of Adam and Eve. In order to spare the life of Adam and Eve, another guiltless life had to be given. Blood had to be shed because God said that he established life to be in the blood of every man and creature. However, the reality is, there weren't enough guiltless animals in creation to die for every sin every man has committed. Even our own blood wouldn't cover our sins because our blood would not be the blood of a guiltless sacrifice. Christ's blood sacrificed for us shows his righteousness and his patience with us as he passes over our sins. God was the one who planned all of this out, by the way. In his infinite wisdom, his plan, before time began, was to punish Jesus in the place of sinners and to justify, name is righteous, the guilty, without compromising his holiness and justice. God cannot sin. He cannot abide it. Payment is due for all the sins we commit. Either we'll pay for them, and remember, what would satisfy God's wrath? Eternity in hell? Or we'll accept Christ's sacrifice for our sins. He is just and the justifier. Not of the entire world, notice, but of those who have faith in Jesus. That's a really hard thing for us to understand, too. Hell isn't going to be empty, ladies. It's not. If you do not have faith in Christ, you will have to pay for your own sins yourself. The sacrifice wasn't a blanket sacrifice. It was for those who would belong to Christ. So take a step back. Knowing all of this, knowing that we owed a debt we could not hope to pay, knowing that the debt was paid for us, not because we deserve it or are worthy of it, but because of his righteous calling for that debt to be paid for, and knowing that even the faith to believe in Christ is a gift from our God, how dare we boast in our salvation? We have no business claiming we are somehow better than someone else because of our salvation. Truly, we need to understand that it is all God's grace, and without it, we could be trapped in the most foul snares of sin. Boasting is excluded, not by works, but because faith is what is at work here. We are justified, called righteous, not through the law, but through faith in Christ who paid our debt, Jew and Gentile alike. God is the one who will justify those whom he justifies. We can't justify ourselves. At the cross, God's justice and love meet. His justice demanded a sacrifice, and his love provided the sacrifice. God is a God of love, yes, but a sacrifice still had to be paid, and because we couldn't pay it, he did. We are guilty as charged, but pardoned and accepted. The law still has value, though. Paul is not against the law, as we see in verse 31. Salvation through faith does not mock or degrade the law. It highlights the value of the law. Under the law, we are all under the death penalty for failing to keep the law, but Christ's sacrifice paid for our sins. The law also shows us our inability to save ourselves. Remember, if you broke the law in one place, you were guilty of breaking it all. Our inability to obey the law should drive us to Christ, as we see how he did obey the law and how his sacrifice pays the death penalty for us. And this faith in Christ gives believers the ability to keep the law as he progressively sanctifies us throughout our lives. This doesn't mean we will keep the law perfectly. We won't be perfected until he returns, but we grow in sanctification every day, and it is through the Holy Spirit that we are given the strength that we need to withstand trials as they come and to keep the law that God has written on our hearts. Here's something I've been thinking about lately. I owed a debt. That debt is a real debt, and it has to be dealt with. Jesus literally paid that debt for me. When I sinned yesterday and let my frustration pour out of my heart instead of letting his love pour out of my heart, that sin has to be paid for. Jesus accepted the punishment for that sin just as he paid for the sins I'll commit knowingly and unknowingly today. Lately, as that truth has hit me, my regret for the sins I committed that very day have hit me in a new way. The understanding that I continue to create reasons for Christ to have been punished is humbling. It reminds me of how far I have to go to be perfected. And it reminds me that I'm not the one who perfects me. He does that. He chose to die for my sins. The deck was never stacked against us. It has always been stacked in our favor. Why don't we appreciate that? Why doesn't that bring us to our knees at the sheer awesomeness of what he has truly done for us? How quickly we become complacent and behave as if this sacrifice is something that is commonplace. It's not. It's one of a kind, and it was done so we could be drawn close to a holy, just, loving God. Who allows us to call him Father? I know I don't deserve it. None of us do. Yet I'm more thankful than words can express that he would die and give me this incredible gift. And it is from that part of my heart that I strive to be more like him, to obey him, to do his will. Because he is awesome and worthy to be praised, and I will do all I can to showcase his glory, to get myself out of the way and point back to him. Consider his sacrifice today and realize you cannot save yourself. You can't do enough good works. You can't even think enough good thoughts. You can't earn it ever. And realize that it's been paid for you, and praise him for his willingness to pay that price for you.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And remember, ladies, all of the notes and these 10-minute podcasts can be found at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. We will take a break and be right back to talk more about today's lesson.